Good afternoon, everybody. Today is, what is today? Today is Thursday, and I understand that it is the 27th or the 28th of October, one of those two. I can't believe I can't remember. Now it's the 29th of October 2009, and this call is all about coaching 101 for coaching 101. My name is Ali Rodriguez. I'm a business coach specialist and fashionista expert. I'm a fashion identifier, and I help clients from the beginning to the end of their businesses and everywhere in between to make sure that they always attain the things that they want to have sooner rather than later, and to stay focused, keep the distractions away, and have fun in the interim. My company name is Vision for Success, located at www.visionforsuccess.biz. My office number is area code 386, which, by the way, spells out fun, 615-6282. I welcome everyone who's on this call now and all of the others who will listen to this call later. So once again, welcome. Like I was saying, I want to talk about coaching 101 for coaching 101. In this day and age where, as business owners, we are faced with so many different decisions and so many hats to wear, and what comes first, the chicken or the egg, and sometimes it's the egg and not the chicken, we wonder, okay, how can we do all of the things that we want to do and still get it all done in time and still get it all done as we want to have it done? And the question is perennial as to what do we need to do, what do we need to do first, how we want to do it. And at the end of the day, it's also something that may be playing in the background as to, do I have all of what it takes? Do I have enough time to do all of the things that I want to get accomplished in this lifetime? Is time on my side? So in all those kind of questions that they begin to pop up, that we need to consider, well, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I really doing that one way or another I can get to do what I really want to do? After all, we are all here in more ways than one. We're all here together and probably for the same reason. But at the end of the day, what is your purpose? What is your reason? Why are you doing what you're doing, and how is that going to serve you before it serves anybody else? That's one of my passions, and this is where I find that having a mentor or a coach where you can be guided, and I don't mean holding hands, I mean guided in the true sense of the word, so that the things that you want to actually see happen begin to happen. They begin to materialize. They begin to take shape, and they don't get obscured or murky. Sometimes I refer to this, I'm sure sometimes we've heard the phone ring. I'm talking about literally the phone ringing off the hook. We've heard that expression. We are doing so many things at the same time. We're literally juggling all of this stuff up in the air. The phone is ringing, and it's like an interruption. And then we try to ignore it, and that ring gets louder and louder. So do you answer it? And the measuring stick is, if that ring gets louder in your head, you have to answer it, because that call is for you. And it's like kind of a wake-up call of, hey, pay attention, because you can't keep on juggling all this stuff. That phone is only ringing for you. It's not ringing for anyone else. And the minute you answer it, that's when a lot of things are going to begin to develop for you, and they're going to become more clear. And yeah, you know what's going to happen to all of the other stuff you were juggling? It's just going to go right ahead and fall right on the floor. Hi, this is Ali. Who else came into the line? Can you say your first name and where you're calling from? Hello? All right, what I'm going to do is put this line on mute. I will continue it, and then I will unmute the line, all right? Okay, can you just give me a sign that you guys are there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, that's Annie or is that Kate?
Annie.
This is Kate. Okay, yeah, somebody had come in before. Did you hear the noise?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I had to put the line on mute because it was way too much noise. And this is something that is, you know, sometimes it happens. It's not a big deal. So I had to make sure you were still there. And now we can communicate. Any questions so far as to what I've said?
No. Sounds good.
Are any one of you a coach? Is already a coach?
I'm a coach. That's Annie.
Yes, so am I.
Oh, so both of you are coaches. Boy, this is perfect because I've been catering this kind of series more specifically for coaches. So now that I know that I got two coaches, yeah, for you guys on the line, this is just wonderful because now you're understanding the language I'm speaking, and it can be very lonely at the top, and it can be lonely for so many different reasons. One of the main reasons being is that you're wearing so many hats.
Mm-hmm.
You're forced to wear so many hats. From the moment you open your business and you decide to hang your shingles, it's like, oh, I need an occupational license? Huh, I didn't know that. Oh, I need a city license, I need a county license, where do I get that? Going to the bank, oh, I need a what? An identification number for the IRS or a state identification number? All of the kind of things that they sound so easy, you are faced with, I gotta have all of this. And then you have to decide what kind of company you want to have in the way of legal structure. Do I make it an LLC? Do I make it a chapter S or subchapter S? What, you know, what are the plans? How is this going to serve me? And in looking as to how this business is going to serve you, it goes into the vision of, well, this is how I want it to serve me. For some coaches, specifically coaches, they want to be more in the arena of having a big firm that will have associates, for example. And you want to grow to that point where eventually you want to sell your company off to the associates and you walk away with, you know, tons and tons and tons of money in your pocket, and that's your legacy. Or you may want to keep it and let it continue to grow, and then you can expand it. You can even franchise it. There are many coaching associations that have franchised the companies because they have done so well. So, again, it goes back to the vision of what it is that you want to do with your coaching business. And for some others, they want to keep it simple. They want to keep it small. And they want to keep it growing. And then they may bring a couple of other coaches, not as associates, but to help them grow the business and in some instances farm out their businesses. And the list goes on. And now that I have you both in the line, I'd like to ask you, I'll start with Kate. Kate, what's your specific field of coaching?
Excuse me, could you say that again, please, Ellie?
What is your specific field of coaching for you, Kate?
I'm principally doing life coaching, and I specialize, or I have grown a small specialty in small business owners and sole entrepreneurs.
Okay. How long have you been doing that, Kate?
I've been coaching for about 5 years.
Very good. And Annie, how about you?
Well, I didn't even know that I was a coach until last year. I started a company where I was a business consultant. And I found out last year that it's also called being a coach, but I help people begin new businesses. Basically, I help them follow their dreams.
Yep. Okay, well, you know what? It's we're almost doing the very same thing, but again, there goes the different hats that you're all wearing. One of the things that, to me, is so important for coaches to have, I wouldn't know what to do without mine. It's all that simple. Ever since I went in, before I went to into business, about 2 years prior, I always had a coach. And along with a coach, I found a mentor as well. He was amazing. And then once I decided to go the route that I took as a business coach, more specifically working with small businesses and entrepreneurs, with the dreamers, with the visionaries.
Right.
Because those are the ones that really, to me, life is all about passion. And we don't want to get to a point where the flicker goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So when we feed off of our own passions and the passions of others, boy, we're really having a big party, aren't we, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. It just inspires us and it keeps us motivated. And as coaches, that's also our job to do for others, to make sure that they're inspired and motivated, and that's not always so easy when our passion may flicker at times, you know? I mean, we want to make sure that light doesn't go off. Once I realized how serious I was about what I was doing, how much money I wanted to make, that became very clear to me when I started to create my business plan and what I wanted to do with that business, how I wanted that money to serve my needs, how I wanted that money to be a companion to my business, to my community, so I could give to others and all that kind of thing that goes into business planning and should be part of the business plan. I immediately created the allocation of funds for coaches. I wasn't sure how many I was going to need in the way of, because sometimes you look for specialties, somebody who's a specialist in whatever your need is at the time and whichever way you want to grow. And in doing so, I found myself with two amazing coaches that to this day, they're just wonderful. They're just wonderful. So to me, having a coach, it's like, hey, you know, that is an option that I want to exercise and I will always want to exercise because it is what has helped me, as I know it helps others, to really move in life so that you can answer your calling, that phone that I was talking about before, to be ringing and ringing and ringing, and it's ringing only for you. Answer your calling. And if it happens to ring in the middle of you juggling your entire life, including your professional life, it's going to cause you to drop things. And of course they will drop. And that's what's going to help you determine what you need to continue to do and what you need to say no to. Just remember, every time we say yes to something, we say no to something else. And learning how to say no is fundamental in the growth of any business. Kate, what was your projection for your business as to what you wanted it to become when you first went into business?
Well, are you asking what my business is like now relative to what I was expecting, or?
No, I'm asking as to when you first created that vision for your business, what did you want it to look like, and then you can tell me what it looks mm-hmm. like now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted it to look like a full practice. That is, I wanted to be working 4 days a week. I wanted to be working mainly with individuals, and I wanted to be working with people who have some of the same values that I have, who care about giving back to the community, who care about being part of a larger community, and who are willing to work for themselves, usually, and I ended up working with pretty much many people who are in the alternative healthcare world. So I work with a lot of body workers and holistic nutritionists and yoga teachers. So my practice tends to be about helping support the alternative healing world. It's a world that I have been in the past, and I just my coaching practice grew out of that.
That's awesome.
No,
I was just going to ask you, how do you see that expanding from where you are right now?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I got an idea from what you were saying before of doing a practice that would maybe have a smallish business, like maybe have 3 to 5 other coaches who are also in this, who know about this world, but somebody who is more, for one thing, I would want somebody who was more financially oriented than I am, more almost more structured than I am. My strength is not so much in structure and form as it is in helping people get in touch with their passion and move into that. So I hadn't actually thought very much about doing a business with other people, but as you're talking, thinking that could be fun. Be a little bit less lonely.
Well, see, this is what this call is all about. I think I put it on my invitation when I mentioned you don't want to go at it alone. You never have to be alone, and you should never be alone. Because there's so many different ways of expanding your business and still getting what you want. And this is where, you know, a coach to a coach comes so handy. Because you have those brainstorming sessions, those masterminding sessions, where your most brilliant ideas get unlocked, and you have the ideas, you just don't know until you're prompted to really think about things.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I'd really love to hear, and especially that you're working with holistic individuals, people who are in the alternative holistic arena. That is a field now more than ever. You know how that's going to quadruple in the next 12 to 16 months?
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about that?
I have started thinking about that, actually, yeah.
Yeah, you have. You know, when you said that, of course, my mind went immediately to the cash register.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't help but hear the ka-ching, all right. Because that particular field is going to grow exponentially in the next 12 to 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
Even going to 16 months will be, you know, I really believe that by September of next year, wow, that's one field that's going to sprout really, really, like wheat. It's going to grow very tall. And I believe at this point, Kay, this is your cue for you to really think, never mind progress, but growth and expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're going to deal with that, what is it that you want to do, who can help you with it, who can you reach out to, that you can form mm-hmm. a joint venture without having to form a partnership. I mean, there's just tons of things that, you know, we can discuss on a one-on-one, but holistic medicine, absolutely, that really is growing like by leaps and bounds, and it will get even stronger. Because let's face it, look what's happening to the healthcare reform bill, you know?
Exactly.
So, and how about you, Annie?
Well, I've already started creating an amazing team.
Great.
Because as I was telling somebody that I met this morning, I'm more of a visionary as to when somebody is in front of me and they tell me what's going on with their business. Mm-hmm. I hear what they're saying, I find out what they need, and I gather the talent that can provide the solution. And I'm starting that actually right now today. I have 2 different entities working with a group of clinics where one person is taking care of their software and security needs, and somebody else is taking care of their wiring and internet needs and also the backup for their computer systems. So I guess what I do gets a little more technical sometimes.
Yeah, but wait a minute. When you said clinics, are you also working in the medical field?
Well, it's just I just happened to think about that because that's what, I'm sorry, what was your name?
Kate.
That's what Kate was mentioning. But it just so happens that that's a new client that I have. And
is
I'm
it
also
regular?
I'm sorry?
No, excuse me. Is it a regular medical clinic, a traditional medical clinic?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a gentleman who owns 3 clinics, and it's about to expand to 5.
Mm.
You know, so I'm really not doing that much of the life coaching with him, but I am resolving his issues. And
Annie, so are you doing business coaching with him? Is that what you're doing for him or with him?
Well, it's not so much the one-on-one coaching, but I'm kind of resolving, it's more of the business consulting with him. But it ends up being coaching because his operations manager is completely overwhelmed. And I'm bringing in a team of people so that he's not overwhelmed. So it's kind of coaching indirectly.
Yep.
But sooner or later, they're going to need that one-on-one.
Definitely.
And what was that noise?
To say the least. Hi.
And then I have another client that's really exciting that's starting a non-profit. And it's going to end up being a food bank.
Mm. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And that is just so rewarding.
I was just going to say, you just gave me a goosebumps. Wow. This is so interesting that both of you are associated in the health field.
Yeah.
So here you are, Annie, you're working with a clinic. Granted, you're working with the owner who's going to be running the numbers, and he's doing all of the, to me, that's what I would call the geeky stuff.
Right.
But is that a technical?
It is technical, but I think that it kind of goes aligned with what we're talking about, in that this is the kind of thing, if you have a system like this, this is something that could keep on operating without me at some point.
There you go. So that's your business model. Okay.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to get at, because everyone is different, and I did not want to start throwing the word business model, because that means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that, you know, that we were talking pretty much the same language, but Kate had already expressed that now she just began to realize, yeah, I can do more with this.
Right.
It sounds like she's having a ball with what she's doing. It sounds, Kate, that you actually answered that freaking phone, didn't you?
Yes.
That was ringing just for you, and you probably dropped all of the other balls you had up in the air, and you said, oh, to the hell with this. And answer your calling. I love it when that happens because I know people have answered their true calling.
Yeah.
And as a fashionista expert, that's exactly what I do from the get-go. It's to identify the person's passion, and I can do that like in 15 minutes or less and build. And I actually, there's something else I do with my clients and especially with coaches. I help them build not only a business model with a business plan and an implementation plan, but also a passion plan.
Mm.
And that gets a little more intricate, but that's a plan that is always on the back of the different pages that go with your business plan. But you incorporate it like you would any kind of legal document. I mean, you have to make it as real and as vivid and as legal as your business plan is to you. Because a business plan is to the, it's only, in other words, it only has the meaning that the owner gives it. And by the way, this is a success tip. When you create a business plan, and even if you haven't done one in a while, which, by the way, is always a good thing to revamp your business plans twice a year, but even if you do it once a year, or if you haven't done one in a while, one of your success tips is to have a business plan that you give it a sense of legality to you, not to anybody else, not to the rest of the world. but it's almost like entering into an agreement. And that business plan that may be 3 pages, 10 pages, I don't care how long or short it is, has a real sense of binding, legally binding to your legal soul, that you would actually honor in such a way as you would honor any other document that you would sign. I always encourage my clients, at the end of the business plan, on the last page, you put your signature to it. That you, in other words, own it. Whatever you talk about on that business plan, initial each page, meaning own it, acknowledge it, and now it's yours, it's your baby. Now you can do with it whatever you want. And it just, it actually triples your chances to succeed at a much rapid pace. It's just amazing. I've seen it happen. It's just totally amazing what it does for others. And don't tell anybody, by the way. Yeah, this is going to be listened to by hundreds of folks. But it is, I'm telling you, it is just amazing. And I do the passion plan, because again, having that passion for what you do, identifying it, and how do you keep it alive, and how does that interact with your business? And remember, you know, when you're doing things out of passion, you never have to work again, because everything is so fulfilling, so rewarding. I mean, look, listen to you, Annie, your voice lit up when you talked about the food bank.
Yes.
I knew immediately. I said, oh, my God, it's part of her passion. It doesn't have to be your entire passion, because we all have a lot of passion for a lot of different things. And you know, we go into seasons. I always help people identify what different passions you have going on right now. And that passion plan, one of the things I add to it is a passion calendar, so that we can be mindful of our seasonal changes. And with a passion calendar goes an idea calendar. Because when you work with your passion, something clicks with your creative side. Even if you're totally left-brained, and believe me, I've worked with people that they would rather have root canal than give you a hug. Well, you know, I'm sure it happens when they're so left-brained. You give them figures, give them financial statements to analyze, give them the real, you know, hard stuff. Give them anything other than, because then they just get a little confused. And I have seen, and I have worked with folks like that, that once they work with my passion plan, they start getting very creative. That side of them begins to get all the creativity that maybe they thought they didn't have, because they're so left-brained. And they just assume that, no, I really, that right side of the brain for me is not, you know, it's not getting tickled in any way, shape, or form. And they get very pleasantly surprised to find out, oh, my God, you know, I got this idea. I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of that. That it was dormant. So it's always a good thing to have that passion plan running with your business plan. And behind the passion plan is the implementation plan as to how you're going to do all of these things that you say you're going to do. And side by side, I hope that you're all visualizing. I'm kind of a visual person. If not, you know, I'll be happy to send you an email about it. But with the implementation plan, right along there, you got your marketing plan. Some folks and some coaches will say as well, marketing plan is the same as a sales plan, and it's the same as a business plan. For some folks it is, in some people's worlds it is. In mine, I like to make them very distinct. So when I work with coaches and or other type of clients, I make it very clear that your marketing plan is quite different from your sales plan. Because your sales plan, you have to have tactics that are quite different from your marketing. And so on and so forth. But I did want to share that with you. If you have any questions, this is a good time to begin to ask me questions, because I think I've covered quite a bit of territory here. You guys are not the shy type, so.
No, I'm just absorbing it and enjoying it.
Good.
I'm really fascinated. This is Kate. I'm really fascinated with the notion of the passion plan.
Yeah, that, I tell you, Kate, that's totally amazing. When I developed it, I coined the phrase Fashionista, so I trademarked it, and I have a website called fashionistaforlife.com that eventually that's going to be the big site for me, for mm-hmm. for other things that I want to do and other people that I want to reach, because I believe that the diversity that we have in this world is so amazing and is so prime for unification, that to me that particular site and that particular mindset is what's going to be my vessel to unite. It's one of my things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's after I created that site and I created, and you know, I started to coin that phrase, I said, my goodness, and that's when, again, you know, that then the right side of the brain started to get excited and started to tell me how happy it was. I developed a fashion plan first for myself. I said, okay, so if I want to do this, that, and the other, what's going to keep me on a really exciting mode where all I got to do is just recall a couple of things that are going to really keep me in that state of mind. And it was coming so fast and furious, I actually got a headache, I had to stop writing. But if any one of you journal, I was writing these ideas down and not at the desktop nor the laptop. I decided to stand up and take a couple of pieces of paper and start to write. Imagine how primitive I'm writing, right? And I couldn't stop writing. It was like I was flooded with so many ideas. And then once I finally took a breather and I said, and I started to look at all of my notes that only made sense to a maniac at that point, it was like a huge light bulb moment. I said, this is it. This is what I really can do to help others to stay connected to their source, whoever or whatever that is, to stay connected to themselves. So the minute you do that, you can be of better service to others. Because at the end of the day, we who are in the service industry, we stand in the service of others. And we need to really take care of ourselves first and be very clear as to what we're saying yes to, what we're saying no to, what we want to keep, what we want to let go of. And, you know, walk through your mental closet and start taking out the stuff that no longer serves you. And I know as coaches you may have heard this many times before, but this is where the implementation plan, along with the passion plan, along with the business plan, and along with the marketing plan, puts it all together. It brings it all into perspective to where it makes sense, and then you can really go to town and be even more productive than you ever thought you could be, but with a sense of joy. See, I'm passionate about people having fun, having happiness, having joy in their hearts, and doing things that other people would rather, you know, like I said, have root canal over it, that you do with such joy, then nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can have you change your heart about how you feel about the joy that you're having for the things that you're doing, whatever that happens to be. Even if it's ironing a t-shirt. God forbid I turn an iron on, but, you know, some people could be something, because you know what, that shirt that you're ironing may be one of your children's, or it could be your husband, it could be your sister, it could be for somebody that you want to give it away and it's going to go to charity. And you start doing with so much love, just visualizing what that piece of clothing is going to do for somebody else that you may not even know yet. And you see how that joy, that passion begins to kick in. So the activity in itself is not nearly as important as the feeling that you have about what you're doing. And that I help clients do when I help them create this fashion plan, which is amazing, guys. Wait till you see it. It's just totally amazing. So Like, you guys need to stop me here and there because I can go on in this for hours.
I'm loving it. I'm loving every second, every word.
So I'm going to interrupt you for a second, Ellie, only because I would love if you would take a couple of minutes, just, you know, a little bit, if you would, but and just say how you got here. Like you weren't always in the Passionista business.
Well, I'll tell you something. I was not always in the Passionista business, but I was always very passionate about whatever I did.
I believe that.
Yeah. And this is from childhood, and I didn't know it until one day I gave myself a reality check, and I went back, because I believe that all of our passions begin to, again, the phone begins to ring when we are between the ages of about 4 to 7. And I started to think about, what was I doing, you know, my 6th birthday? You know, I started to think about birthdays. And I had, and I'm talking about this I did in the past 5 years. I was not really analyzing my life, and I decided to do an analysis about 5 years ago, and I just about fainted. Because it just explained a lot of things to me, why I find so much joy in helping people, but I only want to work with people who are passionate about something. I don't care if you're passionate about, you know, tying your shoes, you know, or playing with your shoelaces, or, you know, cooking and all that kind of stuff, as long as I know you're passionate. And going back to when I was 6 years of age, I remember vividly my mother preparing me to the upcoming birthday whenever I was going to turn 7. And where I come from, I was born in Cuba. And back in those days, it was a big deal for, you know, for a child to have that 7th birthday. I think that day was like, so moms used to plan the parties like a whole year in advance. And for so long, she kept on asking me not only what I wanted for my birthday, but have I thought about what I wanted to do when I grew up? And I'm saying, like, what does that mean, you know? However, I was aware of one thing. I love to laugh, and I also enjoy making other people laugh. The other thing, I was kind of an intense child. The minute I learned how to read and write, I would write and write and write. I enjoyed writing poetry. I enjoyed writing, observing what was going on in the neighborhood with other kids, and then I would write what now we call articles. But I would do like little documentaries, like little Benny next door, house number 7, was doing this, that, and the other, and let's see, what did we learn from that, and 7 steps on how to ride a bicycle. Now we call them what? Articles.
And we put them online, and we...
Exactly. So you asked me that question, and I'm grateful that you asked that question, because this will give you an insight, not so much about me, what I did, but how you can do the same thing and actually tell others, because it's always about, you know, paying it forward. So I noticed that I did that, and I loved it. Until I took it to the nuns, and they told me that it was not okay for me to be writing about little Benny and stuff like that. But, and then the third thing, I was always, always very health conscious. So this is very interesting that both of you are working directly or indirectly in the medical field. Because at one given point, I really thought I would make an amazing doctor. Now remember, this is through the months before my 7th birthday. My mom kept on asking and asking and asking, what do you want to do when you grow up? So finally came 2 weeks prior to the birthday party, and she asked the question again. So by then I had a couple of ideas written down. And of course, being a doctor, because I did want a doctor's set for my birthday. So that was number one. So whether I really wanted to be a doctor on a serious basis, what does a kid know at that age, right? Or did I say it so I could get the doctor set? I'm not quite sure, but I did. I always knew that I wanted to be in the medical field, though. So my mom asked me, have you thought about it? And I knew she was coming from the end of, well, you know, what would you like to have? But she was not asking that question. And I'm glad that she was smart enough to ask questions that had to do with growing up and not what do you want for your birthday, you know? So mom asked me again. I said, yeah, I decided that I want to be a doctor when I grow up. So she wasn't all that thrill with it, but my father didn't take it too well, and he said, well, you know what, that's a noble idea, but the way the medical field works is that little boys grow up to be doctors, little girls grow up to be nurses. So, I did get the doctor's set eventually for my birthday, by the way. But then my mother said, what would be your next thing? And since I love to write, I realized that, I said, I'd love to become a journalist. And Mom said, oh, that'd be wonderful. You can write about stuff. I love your writing. I see you write a little poetry. You can be behind a desk for some kind of newspaper. And I said, no. I want to be a journalist out interviewing people, whatever is going on. She said, oh, no, you'd get killed. No, don't do that. And then the last, you know, when she asked it again, the last question, you know, think about something else. What else would you like to be? I said, because I love, you know, to make people laugh. And it just popped out of my head. I said, I'd love to be a clown. She fainted. At that point, she said, I think we better reconsider this doctor thing. And that's how I got my doctor's set for my birthday. And that's a true story. And as it turns out, eventually I did wind up working in the medical field. I did not become a doctor, but I did become a very successful business owner of a medical dictation and transcription company down in Broward County, by the way, Annie, not far from where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was serving both Miami-Dade, Broward, and the Palm Beaches. So I work with doctors, with hospital administrators, with radiologists, with pathologists, you name it. So I was always in hospitals and doing hospital work for, you know, for the big guns. So that's, you know, the fruit didn't fall too far from the tree after all, but I thought I'd share that with you since you were kind enough to ask that question. And I think, Kay, that it's important that we all wonder. So, you know, what did I really want when I was 6-7 years old, you know? And that's pretty much how I got here. It was all about what did I want to be back then?
Mm-hmm.
What was one of my passions? What was really that got me going, that nobody could stop me? Because that's another thing, you know. Life is not about who's going to let us. It's who's going to stop us. And when you have a passion plan that is solid, along with your business plan and your marketing plan and your implementation plan, I tell you, ladies, nobody can stop you. Nobody can stop you. And even those who try, and even if you doubt yourself, because we're human, it happens. It comes a point where you either look or you memorize or you can get a sense for, okay, what did I write on my passion plan? What was that all about? It's going to put you right back to where you want to be, not where other people want you to be. Because you're always going to make it about you, and you are about others. So no one can put a stop to that door. And it's your door. You choose to keep it open. You choose to keep it closed. That's your choice. But don't let anyone else say, no, you cannot do it, or let me close this door on you. And if they do that, thank them profusely, because another one will open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did I answer your question, Kay?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Thank you. And also, it's a good guidance to think about, you know, when you're that young, you know, because that's, you're close to your basic nature then.
I am. I really am. And Annie that lives in Florida, of course, I'm sure she's been through a couple of hurricanes. When
yes.
I decided to become specifically a coach, and I started out as a consultant too, Annie, so, you know, I hear you in that
mm-hmm.
respect. But this was, I already had a couple of coaches that I was working with in 2004, not knowing yet how else I wanted to reroute my life. And then came the hurricanes in 2004, at the end of 2004, here in northern Florida. And it was devastation. I was hit with 3 hurricanes. I lost my roof, blah, 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 but that was nothing. I had people that I know in this town and business owners that lost their buildings. Financial planners, they found themselves without a job. They lost all of their documentation, their database. And I said to myself, how can I help these people recover? And I don't know what made me think that that was me who had to do that for them, or at least to help them. I never even questioned myself. I just knew that there was something I had to do. Then it hit me. It's that freaking phone ringing again, and it's calling for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I gathered after all the waters got down and after, you know, power lines were restored and we dealt with the snakes. There were a lot of snakes. I mean, really scary stuff. And then I called for almost like a town hall meeting at one of the buildings of the Chamber of Commerce. And I invited. I just decided to tell the Chamber, let's just call as many business owners as we can that are in dire need of reconstructing. And let's have a meeting at the Chamber and as many meetings as we need to, or else we can hold them at City Hall. And let's see how I can be of service or how they can help each other. You know, at that point, I wasn't all that clear. But this is when I decided, this is it. I'm turning into a business coach, and that's it. And I've never looked back ever since. I'm so glad I made the decision. It's just funny, isn't it, how that phone happens to ring just for you and
mm-hmm.
the circumstances into which it does do it. So this is, to me, what life is all about, being able to answer that our calling. And we may have different callings throughout life. That's what I was talking about. We may have many, many passions at many given times in our lives. And remember, life is full of seasons, and they don't have anything to do with the environmental seasons. You know, this is, we're going into fall, and for some people, they're so happy, it's like springtime is here, you know? So it's the season that we happen to be, and I help my clients match whatever is going on with their passion, whatever is going on with their business, whatever they want to do with the season they happen to be in, and help them along so that they can accomplish what they want. And money is very necessary. Money is our friend. Money and wealth is supposed to serve our needs, not the other way around. Don't work for the money. Make the money work for you. Make the money your friend. Ask your money to be your friend. And what would you do for that friend? What would you need to do for that friend? There's all different kinds of ways to look at money relationships. That's part of the business plan that I also work with my clients. When we start concentrating on the financial overview of things, one of the first things I go for is the relationship they have with their money. Because, you know, they can tell me they have X number of thousands of dollars in the bank account, they have X number of thousands of dollars of income, they have, okay, that's lovely. And especially for new startups too, okay, where are you going to get the money to get you going to where you want to go? Those are things that need to be contemplated, especially nowadays where lending is not coming as easy, so you need to know where your money is going to come from. However, more important than all of that, how do you feel about your money? What is your relationship to money? And what needs to happen in order for you to have even a better relationship with your money, a more open relationship with your money, and actually a loving relationship with your money? So that money comes and serves you as you, again, stand in the service of others. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
attitude is everything.
Actually, it's more than attitude. It's the definition of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I don't know if you ladies have asked this question of your clients or if you ever needed to, but sometimes I ask this question, okay, how do you feel about money? Is money good? Is money bad? Is money dirty? Is money, is there such a thing as having too much money? As coaches, we know that one of our jobs is to ask a lot of questions And obviously ask the right questions. And sometimes when people are concerned about money, it seems the more worried we get about money, the less money we get. And sometimes needing money is not always the way to get more money. And it all has to do with how you feel about money. Because at the end of the day, money is paper. But it's, what does it mean to you? What is the meaning that money has to you? What is that piece of paper that looks green does for you? What does it do for your family? What does it do for your contribution to your community? How does it help you connect to greater things, to bigger things, to the things that you want to have? You know, sometimes we have people, some of the people have callings in life that may be very, very different from what ours happens to be. For them to have money, it may be that they're being facilitated a trip to do a pilgrimage from, I don't know, from Fatima to Rome, for example, and it's purely spiritual. So I do ask this particular question when it comes to part of the financial overview. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to be at my website, visionforsuccess.biz. If you haven't, just take a quick peek in there. But that's some of the things that I do. It's financial overview because it's all part of the business. Whether you're starting with a new business plan or if your first business plan or you're revamping your business plan, you need to have a clear-cut idea as to what the financial overview begins to look like.
Excuse me, Ellie, could you say that website again?
Vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, mm-hmm. Then the word for, F-O-R,
mm-hmm.
Then the word success, S-U-C-C-E-S-S dot biz, B-I-Z.
Great, thank you.
And on my homepage, you're going to find that as a company, as a firm, the things that I do and that I help both corporate clients, individual clients. Sometimes they come to me in groups, and I do that too. If there's a need for them to revamp their business plan, that's something that needs to be addressed immediately. It is the financial overview. What's going on in here? What needs to change? How else can you be doing this better than you did before? There are always changes, and life is about change anyway. So since it's a given, why fight it? Just go and let's take a look at what needs to change and how we can be more effective. And the other thing I help clients to do is save a truckload of time and money. Because, again, getting back to relationship with money, one of the things that in my personal experience is that when you utilize your money to the best of the advantages, it seems to duplicate. More of it will come to you. If you don't, like it's not important enough, it seems to all of a sudden become more scarce. So for me, it's important that people have that not only the financial overview very clear, but the money relationship also very clear, and that it has to be a feel-good relationship with money. That's very, very important. It's what makes money grow at a much rapid pace than it did before. Okay. Annie, do you have any questions?
Nope.
Okay, all right. Do any one of you have a business plan that is, when was the last time you made your business plan?
A long time ago, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay, so you're due for a revamping then?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
mine is 2006, so.
Oh, God, yeah. Both of you are overdue with your finance, with your business planning. Yeah. Do you remember what items you put in your business plan on how did you use it when you created your business plan?
Well, this is Kate, and I did a fairly traditional business plan. I did a competition profile and a management profile and, you know, opening expenses and ROI and that sort of thing, but I did nothing that had anything to do with my passion.
Oh, yeah.
It just it wasn't in the cards at that moment. I didn't think of it. So, to tell you the truth, I haven't really paid much attention. I mean, I occasionally look at my business plan, but I don't really. I mean, I certainly haven't followed it, or it hasn't been a living document, shall we say.
That's what you need to revamp. Remember, I was talking before about making it into something binding, legal, for your initials, because then it becomes so real. It's living. It talks to you. It walks. And in many times, it does the walking for you, in the sense that if you look at your business plan now, are you doing, or have you stuck to most, at least 80% of what you said you were going to do? You don't have to answer, but I'm sure that when you look at it, you're going to say, almost, but not quite. And that's because it lacks that validation that it is a living document. It really is. As is the passion plan, when you combine those two, it really, you become unstoppable. You become actually what you want to be. You know how many times we've heard, well, who are you today? Or, again, who do you want to be, you know, tomorrow or a year from now or 10 years from now? Well, as a journalist, I'd love to be Christiane Amanpour. However, that's not going to happen. But it's something, again, that gives us that inspiration of it's perfectly fine to look up to other people and say, man, you know, they have done such amazing accomplishments in this world, in their field of expertise, that you get inspired. So, you know, even in working with a passion plan, I will ask that kind of question. Who has inspired you in the past? Who inspires you now? And who do you think will be inspiring you in the future? Because for all we know, I mean, the person that you want to be in the future will be the very person that will inspire you today. And that will be you. And that is so neat when that happens. That is so super cool when it happens. But there's multitude of things that can be done within a passion plan. But for that, of course, you have to have me in your life so we can do it together. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I love working one-on-one, especially with coaches, so I can't begin to tell you how delighted and pleasantly surprised I was to hear that both of you are coaches, and those who will listen to this recording later on. I'm going to need to have your email addresses before we get off the call, so I can email you a couple of things to you. I want one thing from each one of you that you would like to see happen, and I will give you a little implementation plan, because I want to make sure you walk away with something that you can get going on it right away. That it's not just going to be, oh, well, I'll get to it later. Does that sound like a cool thing to do?
Yes.
Okay. Annie, you want to go first?
It does sound like a cool thing.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you want to start?
Just tell me something. Oh, by the way, I want to ask both of you, how did you hear about this class today?
I heard it on the CTI listserv. I get a notice from the Coaches Training Institute, which was my school.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay, that is so cool. And you, Annie?
I'm on your list, and I had been on one of your calls about a year ago.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we go back a year. All right. And Kate is in the CIT. You know what? I really appreciate you sharing this with me, because CIT, my VA, I also have a company. I have a number of VAs. Like, I have my coaches. I believe in delegating is very important.
Mm.
Don't try to do everything yourself. Like Annie was saying before, she puts things together. There's so much power in leveraging what you know to help others. Don't try to, again, remember I was talking about wearing so many hats? You don't have to. You don't have to. Just relax. And so I'm really tickled at thinking about the CIT, because that means that one of my VAs went ahead and posted it without me even telling her. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow, I gotta call her and just kiss her over the phone. No, because that's somebody, you know what? She's already telling me, hey, I can read your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I did not, I told her to put it on Facebook. I had given her a list, but it didn't occur to me to tell her to put it in there. And evidently, it did occur to her. Talk about a smart girl.
And Ellie, is that the vision? So success.biz, is that your main, is that your homepage?
Yes.
So that would be where I could email you?
Yes, that would be the place. Okay. Absolutely. That would be the place. You can contact me from there. My telephone number is there on the right-hand corner. And like I said at the beginning of the call, that would be area code 386-615-6282. And like I said, what I want to do now is briefly, you each give me one thing that is important enough for you to do a little bit of an implementation plan, and because I do want to give that to you before you leave this call. So Annie, I'll start with you.
I didn't understand the question.
Is there something that you would like to see implemented right away? Something that it doesn't need to be anything that we talked about during this call, but is there one thing that you got going on that you're not too sure how to implement it?
Actually, I've had two prospects for coaching.
Mm-hmm.
They happen to both be male, and they are really, really overwhelmed. Their wives are their business partners, and their wives are very much interested in their husbands getting coaching with me. But I think that I guess it's fear on their part, and that is an obstacle.
Okay. Who has the fear?
The gentlemen that are supposed to get the coaching.
Okay. Are they your ideal clients?
I really don't know, because I usually do a 30-minute assessment before I take on a client. But I just think it's interesting that I've had this happen twice within a week.
I was going to say that there goes that phone ringing, and it's ringing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, here's an idea, and then we'll talk about if you can put it to work. Can you call them out of the clear blue, like a cold call, and say, hey, hi, I'm Annie, and I'd love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you here at Lincoln Mall. How about if we can meet out, about 12:15 at the Starbucks and see if you can get a one-on-one, and that would be your freebie that you give away. But instead of over the phone, get to see that, especially their local, that you got that heads up on that. And meet, obviously not the two of them together, but meet one and face-to-face, and just get going in a conversation.
Okay.
As to how they feel, or how he would feel to do X, Y, Z, and you would probably have some information. Are the wives wanting you to know that it's their idea, or they don't want them to be mentioned?
Oh, no, they've spoken. They're pretty aggressive women.
Okay, so
they're go-getters. I mean, I love them.
Okay.
And they're there, please help my husband, he's going to die.
Okay, so you know what? I would use that as, that's your perfect out. That's, call them up and just tell them that you want to sit down with them, and make it the place of your choice, whatever you feel more comfortable, because I'm sure once they're in your turf, they'll feel comfortable to you. You have a knack about making people feel comfortable. And it's your home base, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so just meet some place where you can maybe at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a little kind of mid-afternoon cup of coffee, and talk. If you talk to each one individually, and here's your implementation plan. The action plan is call them, and call them today. It's already Thursday. Can you call them by tonight yet?
Sure.
And set up something for tomorrow afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's your action plan and due date. It has to be done by tomorrow, where you meet at least with one of them. And then your implementation plan to get them as clients is to be ready with a dollar figure as to, how long you think. Because by the time you're done talking with him, you're going to be able to determine how much coaching they're going to need from you. And you can give them a verbal idea as to how much it's going to be and how long, And then you can always follow up with a formal contract or a formal proposal that you will send to them in writing, whether it's via email or snail mail, whichever, you know, tickles your fancy. But that's how you implement it. This is your implementation plan for this. Your action plan is to call them, get them to sit down with you, and get to find out what's going on with them and how you can be of service to them, and then close the deal. Implement the action plan by saying, okay, this is what it is, this is how long I think it's going to be, and how about if we start next week? Will that be a good time for you?
Mm-hmm.
See what he says. The worst that can happen is that he says, no, none of this is good for me, and the guy storms out of the place, and you know it's not personal, because none of this is personal. This is no for now, but it's not forever.
Right.
You know, we cannot take any of this personal. But that to me, and then obviously, whether this guy works out or not, or comes back to you and says yes to you, again, even when he says no, you can always follow up in a couple of weeks again, you know, implement, and use the same tactic with the next one. And by now, you're incorporating these tactics to your marketing plan, which is also part of your business model.
Mm-hmm.
You see how quickly that fell into place?
Right, yeah.
Do you have something like that already in place or no?
A tactic like that about step by step? Yeah.
Okay, all right. So this is something you would have done anyway, right?
Well, not with somebody that, I mean, it's just a different kind of thing because I've met their wives. Mm-hmm. I mean, their wives are the initial contact that I have, and their wives are kind of imposing it on them. And usually I deal with the person that I'm going to be coaching directly.
Exactly.
You know, so it's a little different, and I don't know how much to go after somebody that has their wife saying that they have to do it.
That's why I said I wouldn't even mention the wife at all.
Yeah.
And I would simply say I'd love to sit down with you and have a cup of coffee. That way it's non-committal.
Right, you know. Right. And most guys will do that, yeah.
You got it.
Guys,
we can be so wicked. Don't you just love it? Yeah,
yes.
just do that and then just implement and take it from there. And I'd love to hear how it worked out, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, you bet now, Kate. Your turn.
Well, the thing is, that's really present in my mind is that I recently joined a BNI group. Do you know what that is?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So, and it's not an obvious fit for coaches, but I did it. I thought about it, and I did it. And now I find myself in a room with 17 guys, two women, 17 guys, who really know nothing about coaching. They're mostly insurance agents and, you know, car salesmen and house builders. And I like the guys for the most part, but they really have no idea about coaching. And I only have 60 seconds a week for starters.
I know.
And help.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we're going to do an action step and then an implementation process.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal. First of all, how much do you pay?
To join? For the year? I think it was $330.
Okay, when is that over?
I just started about a month ago.
Okay. Is any of that refundable?
No.
Okay, all right.
So you were thinking to get out?
Well, because I have a funny feeling you're going to encounter a lot of frustration, and because I'm an action coach in a way, I don't like to see people waste their time. Because and this goes for both of you and for all of the other hundreds and thousands of people that are going to listen to this later. I'll tell you this, money comes and goes, okay? But time, we cannot get it back.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to join something that you may not even be happy with because they don't have a clue, and you already invested $330, and I wonder if this investment is more of an expenditure than an investment, the way it sounds, you know? And the other thing is that you have to show up to the meetings. If you don't show up, you know, then you get a cold shoulder and, you know, have to provide all of the leads and all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, I don't mind showing up. It's convenient for me. The person who invited me is a really, really, he's an ethical and very open spiritually person, very unlike what I expected from businesses, and they really are interested in coaching. They really want to know.
Okay, my question to you is, do you feel comfortable with this, folks, when you go into these meetings?
I do.
Okay. Do you feel that at one given point you can, how many are there to this group?
There are 18 of us in total.
Oh, okay. That's a good number. Okay.
Yeah. It's a very choosy group. They're choosing to stay small. They choose people really carefully. Somebody else applied when I did. They didn't get accepted. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to sort of broaden their perspectives, really. They have, you know, there's a chiropractor, for instance, and they're looking for massage therapy people. And
okay, well, this is where your life just became a lot easier when it comes to this, because you've already made a commitment, you like the people that you're in, and I don't know how much business you're going to get from this. However, action plan, create a curriculum of how you are going to teach these people about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the 60 seconds to talk about, mm-hmm. you're going to make it into a lesson plan.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, this is who I am, this is what I do, and this is who I serve,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be giving them the tip for the day in education, in coaching education.
Ah.
Get it?
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yes. So customize it to me, because it's not a natural fit. So make it for me. Use this.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That way
yep.
you feel comfortable about what you're talking about. You feel
mm-hmm.
comfortable in your own skin.
Right.
You're owning your coaching because you are a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you're owning the fact that they need to learn. Other,
mm-hmm.
Because now you've got to turn the tables on them. They don't know about coaching. That's your job to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And if after they listen to you every week for your 60 seconds, they're not learning. You can always give them a quiz at the end of the month.
That's a great idea. No, that really is a great idea.
We're wicked, I'm telling you.
That's a really, really good idea. I'm going to do that because it's a little bit fun.
Of course.
And it will wake them up. I like that idea.
That way you got them. Then, and I tell you another message that you're sending. I laugh because it really is wicked. What the hell? It's Halloween.
Uh-huh.
I got a couple of rooms standing by just in case I need to take off in a rush. But but what happens is the minute you do that, they're going to respect you even more because you're letting them know you are serious about your craft and you are serious about the group. That's why you're taking the time to teach them.
That's really good.
See what I mean? They're going to see you in a completely different light. They're going to say, oh, my God. I can see their faces already, actually. I'm very visual. I see all these people, you know,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are older than others.
Mm-hmm.
And you got about, what, 4 women in there?
I'm the third.
Oh, so you got, see, I wasn't too far off.
You got
3 women and the rest are all men.
Yep.
And most of them are between the ages of 32 and 68.
Yep.
There you go. Told you I'm wicked. That's what you need to do. You every 60 seconds, every week, you do a 60 seconds presentation. You don't tell them what the presentation is. You got to make it into a lesson on coaching.
I can do that. And I have one quick question for you about that. Would you suggest that I say ahead of time, like the next X number of weeks, I'm going to be doing this, or just get up and do it?
Oh, no. Get up and do it.
Okay.
I don't know, just get up. Yeah, because, you know, why tell them?
You need to
know, because at the end of the day, also you're doing this for you. Okay, you need to know that they're paying attention.
Yes, I do.
And if after the first month or even after the second month, when you tell them, hey, you know, I get a little quiz for you, and they're going to love you for that.
What I'll do? You know, you've given me a great idea. What I'll do is I'll do a quiz. For when I do my first 8-minute presentation, I'll do the quiz beforehand.
There you go.
That's what I'll do.
And that way, you're going to know right off the bat who you want to keep, this brings me back to what I was saying before. Mm-hmm. Be careful what you say yes to and what you say no to.
Mm-hmm.
For every yes, you're saying no to something else. For
right.
every no, you're saying yes to something else. This is a typical example of when you're dealing with people. You may have people in there that you don't want to do business with.
Right.
Because if they haven't paid attention, why would you want to? And then immediately you're going to recognize the ones that you're really not going to be able to bring them any qualified leads either.
Mm-hmm.
One of the dangers of this kind of group is that you always have to bring qualified leads. Well, you're not going to have qualified leads for everybody all the time because that's just impossible.
Yeah, they're pretty relaxed about that, actually.
Well, even if they're relaxed, the idea of this type of group is so people can bring business to each other.
Right, I know.
And so even if they're relaxed, for you, what you need to do is you need to educate them. If they don't know anything about coaching, by the time you're done with them, they're going to know.
Right, they're going to know.
And when you do your 8-minute presentation and you quiz them, they're going to adore you because they know that you love your craft, and then they know that you really respect the group enough to let them know that you care enough to have gone through this trouble. Because most people won't do that. Trust me, no one. It's another one of my strengths, networking.
Okay.
It's I just love doing that. So when you go back to your CTI board, just post a couple of comments in there and let them know that you and I had a chat today because they know me in there in the
great.
In the public forum. Do you know Morgana Ray?
Yes, actually. I've not done any work with her, but I know who she is. And when you were talking about making money your friend, I saw her Money Honey.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
She's brilliant.
She turns money into a person, which I always, for a long time, I always felt that money had to be some kind of an entity, you know? But I never thought of it as a real person. I always thought of it as something that I needed to respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As some kind of an entity. So when I started to read some of her, and she and I have talked, she's a hoot. I think she has a very, very healthy view on things that happen in life.
I think so too.
Yeah, so you can.
I can imagine the two of you talking.
Oh my God! Yeah, I tell you, she's a riot, and so am I. So it's like it's too bad that we live so far away from each other.
Yeah.
One of the day, I'm sure that we will meet. So, okay, so that has helped you, and you know now what your implementation plan is. What I mean by implementation is get it done.
Yeah.
Don't write it down and then forget about
it. No, right.
Make sure that it's a done deal. And also when you write it down, initial date and initial. So you'll know that on such and such date, when it's your time for your 8 minutes of presentation, you're going to do that, you're going to do the quiz.
Right.
So that way it validates. Again, that's what turns everything that we're doing in here and what you're going to be doing with your business plans, etc., it turns into a living thing. It really is a living document that it's going to bring you so much fulfillment, and this is going to make your life very easy. And actually, the BNI group might start beginning to understand that they probably, you know what's going to happen also, Kate? They're going to say, oh, my God, I just know a person's going to be perfect for her.
Yes, that's what I'm assuming, and because I know that. I mean, everyone isn't my client, but I really believe that everyone knows somebody who could be my client.
Absolutely. So
I do.
Once,
I believe that.
Yeah, once you do that for them,
mm-hmm.
they're going to realize that they actually have a lot of people they know, and they would have never thought that it would have been a perfect fit for you.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to start getting referrals. So you're going to be playing this very smart. It's going to serve you, it's going to serve them, and you're going to get referrals. So it's a win-win-win, which I love those kind of situations.
Yeah, I feel that.
It
felt counterintuitive, but I really thought about it, and I really checked it out, and I put a thing out on the CTI listserv and heard from seven coaches who had done BNI and had really, really good experiences with it. So I thought, you know what, it came to me really karmically, so I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it seems like you're in a... The fact that it's a small group, I like that. The minute you said 18, that was a magic number. That's really very good. And you know some of the people, you have, you know, a huge age mix in there.
Yep.
And, you know, and remember that I used to say, you know, our elders know best, and now the tables have been turned.
I think so, yeah.
I'm finding, for example, I do business with a virtual assistant company, and the owner is 26 years old. And she has several people working for her.
Mm.
And she's been doing this since she was 21, and she's already, you know, a millionaire a couple of times over. Brilliant. She comes up with stuff that I'm saying, oh my God, you know, I should have thought of that. And then there's what I'm telling, we need to start paying attention to our younger ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they got, I don't know what they were fed when they were babies, but I tell you, there's a lot of brilliance out there. And I'm happy to be very honest with you. I'm so happy to be living the life I'm living and the times that we're living. We have been blessed with the opportunity to take stock of what we're doing so we can really make a meaningful difference, not just a difference, but a difference that is also impacting ourselves as it impacts the lives of others. And to me, that's priceless. You ladies are both in an awesome craft, in an awesome profession. It doesn't get any better than that. If you have any other questions, ask them now. Otherwise, I'd like to wrap it up. And I need both your email addresses. Kate.
So this is Kate. Mine is easy. It's K.D. Rivera, and that's just River with an A at the end. So it's K.D.R.I.V. as in Victor, E.R.A. at Comcast.net.
Okay. Okay. All right. Annie?
Mine is Annie at SouthBeachAnnie.com.
Oh, that's lovely.
She's lovely. She's having the time of her life down there at South Beach.
That's right.
Have you been there for a while, Annie?
Since 2000.
Great.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, she's got it. She's down there, and then she's going to take these guys out to Starbucks or whatever else.
At Lincoln Beach. I once spent a wonderful New Year's Eve at Lincoln Beach.
I tell you, I was telling Annie before you came on the call that used to be my playground. Because I grew up in Miami, and God, I remembered when the fountain blew with all the you know, with the
green. Yeah.
And that where the old Americana Hotel used to be, and oh gosh, oh my days of partying hardy, I think they're over.
I don't think we'll
revisit that.
I'd be surprised, Allie.
I know. If there's anything I can do for you, with you, I'd love to have you as my client.
Thank you.
So think about it, and we can do, you know, either, depending on where you're at individually, we can do a one-month program or a two-month program or a three-month program. I also, if you visit my calendar page, I also have a program called The Power of Five, which I actually incorporate the passion plan at the end as a freebie. I kind of do it as, I surprise people. I don't tell them up front they're going to get it. But anyway, it's a five-week program. I can't remember the dates right now. You're just going to have to visit visionforsuccess.biz/calendar. And then it's going to show you the power of five. If you're interested in that, that too, I can do it as a group. It's pretty cool.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. This has been much more than I expected. I really appreciate this.
I always try to go that extra mile. I like to surprise people. It's in my nature. All right, ladies. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Bye, Annie.
I'll see you along the way. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.